Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Curtis Young. Curtis is the interim executive director of Family of Friends Mentoring. Hey there, Curtis. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Man, Gary, I'm so happy to be here with you today. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Certainly. So tell me about Family of Friends. What is it?
Okay. Family of Friends, we're a community-based mentoring program, and we function primarily out of East County in Portland. And it's an interesting story because Family and Friends first started underneath Trillium Behavioral Health Services in 2013. And then after a couple of years, grant funding dried up, but everyone saw how well the program was running. And so a decision was made, let's spin this off and make this into its own organization. And so in 2016, Family and Friends formally incorporated and began offering services in Portland and in East County, you know, the Rockwood, Gresham, Troutdale area.
Sure.
And over time, the organization just recognized there are way more students coming from the East County area than in the Portland area. And so we continued serving the students that we already had in Portland, but really made this big focus to go into the Gresham and Rockwood area to begin serving a lot of the students there. And what we do differs than other mentoring programs, because most mentoring programs either offer group mentoring, where a group of students get together with one person to go through some curriculum, or they do one-on-one mentoring, where a student gets a mentor and they spend time together. We approach that somewhat differently. We do what's called community-based mentoring, and what that means is that one student might have one mentor, or they might have a husband and wife team, or they might have an entire family who works with them, or they may be adopted by a local business and all the people working in that business spend time with that student to mentor them and help bring them along. So we really focus on this broader aspect of mentoring where all of the responsibility and pressure isn't placed just on one person, but we look at larger networks to see how can we give this student what they need in a larger network of people so they have multiple places where they can go for help and support.
Tell me about the students that your organization works with. Where do they come from and what sort of needs do they have?
So we get some referrals through schools. No school will see, oh, the student has something going on. They really need some additional help. Honestly, though, most of our referrals come from tabling events. We'll go to a farmer's market or we'll go to job fairs, different things like that. And we just have a sign out saying, hey, here's what we do. We serve students. And then we get to talk to the parents and the family members to see, is this something that's going to benefit them and the child? We start as young as 6, although I don't believe we currently have any 6-year-olds. And generally, the matches last for a year. That's the technical length of it. And I have yet to know anyone that has only gone for a year.
Oh, yeah.
Usually what happens is they go for a year and the student says, I love this. And the mentors say, we love this. And it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. We actually have one of our longest mentoring relationships. The young lady is in college right now, and her mentor still meets with her. They get together once a month for lunch, and it's just blossomed this beautiful relationship. And that is the kind of thing that we are looking to build all the time, where people aren't. So you do start off with just a 1-year commitment, right? For 1 year, will you do this with a student? But we really try to set things up and support people in such a way where they go, nah, I'll be with this student for the long haul.
Oh, lifelong friendships.
Yes, that's what we're trying to build.
We're talking today with Curtis Young, who is the Interim Executive Director of Family of Friends Mentoring. Curtis, tell me about the mentors.
What? Oh, man. So they are the fuel that keeps the engine going, right? We couldn't do anything that we do without mentors. And they run the gamut. We have business professionals who are mentors. We have people who take care and manage their households who are mentors. And we have couples who are mentors. We have a couple of younger college students now who are mentors, which is really exciting to us because we are really seeing those students identify very well with someone who they know, oh, I could be this person in a couple of years. So when we have a middle school student or even high school age student come in who wants a mentor, we intentionally match them up with those college age students because it makes sense that real friendship can develop that way. So all of our mentors are volunteer right now, although we do offer stipends because they'll do activities with the students. They might go to the movies or get ice cream or whatever, so they can just collect the receipts. They get those back to us, and then once a month we pay them for whatever they spent out of pocket. And we also offer match activities, so that's where mentors and their mentee can show up. Like just a few weeks ago, we did rock climbing. Well, not, it wasn't rock climbing. It was at an indoor gym.
Okay.
Rock
climbing. That sounds adventurous.
Right. We're not that adventurous. But we went to a local indoor gym called Rock Haven. Just shout out to them. Woohoo. They're the best. We took them to Rock Haven in Gresham, and they all got to come and go bouldering and everything together. In a couple of weeks, we're taking them to learn archery and see what that's like, because we are very focused on not just setting up a student with mentors who can help them navigate some of the difficulties of life, which is really critically important, but we're also saying, hey, some of these students will never have a chance to experience archery or overnight camp or a hike because of where they live, the type of environment they grew up in. And so we believe that students will learn best when they can get dropped into a new environment surrounded by people who care about them and have a chance to explore and see, hey, maybe this is something for me.
What sort of training do mentors get, and how do you choose mentors?
Wow. I don't know that I have enough time to go through all of the training. But in short, so everyone gets trauma-informed care training. Everyone gets training about sexual identities and how to support and encourage people in that way. Everyone gets child abuse training. We use a lot of the training that's used for foster parents with the state of Oregon to get it done. And then we have some of our own specific safety training that we do as well. And that comes from MentorCorps, which is a large national organization that provides a lot of training for different mentors. So in total, they get about a week's worth of training before they become a mentor, in addition to basics like CPR, first aid, some behavior management things, because not all of our mentees are angels, right? And then they also get the ongoing support. So each match has a staff member assigned to it who checks in with the student and their family and also with the mentor at least twice a month to see what can we do, what do you need, how do we get it done.
Wow, that is a lot of training.
It's a lot of training. And there's an extensive, actually, vetting process that we go through. Once someone says, I would like to be a mentor, the first piece is just a background check because we have to make sure that everyone's going to be safe. Then the next part of that is a home visit by our staff members, where they sit with you, they meet you, they talk to you, just to see, are we picking up anything that we need to look into here? And then there are reference checks that we go through also that dig a little bit deeper. Then there's one final home visit, just kind of encapsulating everything that we've learned, give you a chance to clarify anything that may have come up that we've discovered in any of the other background checks. And then at that point, you're ready to receive a match. And the students actually help choose their matches. Oh. So if Gary passed the process and now he's ready to match, we'd say, okay, Gary, here are three students who are looking for a mentor. which one would you like to meet first? And the mentor and their family meet Gary, and they get to decide, is Gary a great fit for us or not? So that's how the process works.
Yeah, that's cool. Is that unique to friends of a family of friends?
I believe so. I'm not sure. I'm not aware of any other organization where they leave that final decision in the hands of the student and the family. It's usually, hey, we have a mentor for you if you're ready. And the family says, great. And then they bring it together. We've just found that giving students and families some kind of agency in the person they're allowing to come into their life heightens our odds for success and a good match.
We're talking today with Curtis Young with Family or Friends Mentoring. Curtis, tell me about the Amigas program.
Oh, man. So we're crazy excited about that. I know I said that other organizations do group mentoring. Amigas program is our affinity-based group mentoring. So right now we are initially starting out with Latinas. We have a staff member who is Latina, and that's her passion. So once a week, they will be meeting. We haven't yet chosen the location that's going to be place-based. So we are talking with a couple of different affordable housing communities to see which ones might be the best fit for the program. But then once a week, those young Latinas will get to come together with someone who will go through. There is a curriculum. I feel like I have to say that. We have a curriculum that we can follow. But I'm going to be honest with you, Gary. We don't never follow curriculum. Monica gets there. She's the one who runs the program. She gets there, and the girls just bring their life.
Yeah.
This is what we're facing. This is what we're experiencing. And then she helps them navigate those different circumstances. And when we reach a point where we can't help a student anymore, that's when Monica switches into case manager mode, and she does referrals to get those students the help that they need. And then we also look to match individual students in the Amigas program with the community-based mentoring program, because maybe they need more than an hour, hour and a half once a week. Maybe they need an additional person to help them navigate something really, really tough. So Amigas works well as a doorway into some of the robust services that we offer through the community-based program. So we're wildly excited about the potential. We were doing it in school districts before, and we were limited just with facilities with the school districts. I think everyone can understand why that is. School districts don't have a lot of extra space, and everyone wants that extra space. So we started asking ourselves, who else has some space that can house this where we can solve their problem and they can also help us have a place to gather? And let me just say, one of the things I'm most excited about with the Amigas program is this new project. Monica and I have not agreed on the name of it yet. I want to call it Grandma's Kitchen. She has other ideas about it. But basically the idea is that we would allow the people involved in the Amigas program to explore their culture and heritage through food.
Nice.
And so we could bring in different older Latinas to teach the young girls how to cook and
That's
how
awesome.
To do this and to tell the stories about this is where this came from. Here's why we cook it this way. You know, I lived in New Mexico for a number of years, and Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve was tamale making time. And that's when everyone got together and they made tamales and they would tell stories and laugh. And I felt like, wow, I'm really getting to understand what's going on in this family. And to think that we could give something similar to young Latinas is so exciting. So we're thrilled to get that started in the fall.
That's really great, because food is such a big part of everyone's culture.
It really genuinely is. And sometimes people are separated from their culture for a lot of different reasons, right?
Right, right.
And so being able to say, oh, we'll bring this food in to help you connect back to where you came from can be so exciting.
Yeah. Beyond your core programming, how does Family or Friends help their students and mentors and the community at large?
Through a lot of the case management and referral work that we do. So we have two staff members who are devoted to match support. And all they do is meet with the students and the families and the mentors to see what's working, what isn't working, and what can we do to fix it. Once we identify any issues or problems that might exist, at that point, we say, okay, which of these can we handle and which of these can't we handle? Because some of them we can do, oh, mom needs a ride to the grocery store on Thursday. Great. We can do that. You know, we can do that. We can step through with that. But another one that we've recently dealt with is, oh, mom's immigration status is running out. Well, I don't know how to do that. I'm not an immigration lawyer. I don't know what that is. And English is not her first language. Typically, the student translates for the mom. So we were like, okay, we need to partner with other organizations in the area who specifically deal with this. And so then we make the referrals and walk with the family through those types of experiences so that they can get the help that they need.
That is really fantastic. And what a needed resource.
It's really excited. It's honestly a lot of work. And it's work that, truthfully, we've always kind of done. And then we just recognize a month or so ago, we were like, we've never really said that we're doing this. You know, like we've just done it all the time. Maybe we want to make it clear to people that we can help connect them with other resources and services that they need. Because it's been on a case-by-case basis. But now we're saying we just want to let everyone in the program know, look, if you need help with this, if you need help to navigate Medicaid, because I mean, that's a nightmare trying to get health insurance, right? Oof. Or in any of those government programs, there are families who need help with that. And that's the kind of help that we can provide, or we can connect them with someone who does that work so that they can get everything that they need to be successful.
It's so community oriented. Your organization, Family and Friends, is so community focused on the community. That's really great. Bringing everybody together.
That's what it's all about. You know, it's so cliche to say it takes a village, right? But man, everyone has a piece of what we need in order to be okay. And so kind of the way the program has evolved, I mean, naturally, I wish we could take credit for it and say, we did this from the start. We didn't. It just happened. Yeah. We said, hey, people need help in this way. And then we met that need. Oh, people need help in this way. And then we met that need. And now we've come to realize that really the mentoring and the connection with the student is kind of like, that's the doorway into being able to help support some of the additional needs that families have. And that's the thing that gets the staff excited and gets the mentors excited. Not just that we're making a difference for a student, which we do, but this entire family can benefit. You know, there's a story that I like to tell, and this just happened a month ago. We had a student who was experiencing some troubles at school, which was unusual because she was a fantastic student. And so our staff asked her about it, and she talked about how she hadn't been getting much sleep and different things going on. And so the staff member did a home visit, and we found out that mom was having some mental health issues. And since they didn't have insurance, she couldn't get any more medication. And so now her bipolar was acting up. And so the daughter was having to kind of cover everything. And we went, oh my gosh. So we went, got in touch with people who we knew who did that kind of work so that she could get the help, so that the mom could get the help and support that she needed. And then we gave the student help and support that she needed to kind of get caught back up with her studies and get life normal again for her. And now the family is doing great. Mom has a therapist that she's seen. She's got her meds. The daughter is thriving again, and it worked out for everyone. But it never would have happened if we would not have been offering the initial mentoring service to the student.
Wow. That's a great story. Thanks for sharing that one. So how does a Family and Friends measure success, and how do you track your students?
Well, we track them through a database. That sounds really boring. I wish there was an exciting answer. we have a database that we use to track them. And for each student, so we have these broad overall goals that we seek for success for a student. And those get built with the mentor, with the student, and with the family when it first begins. So one of them might be, oh, Joey really had problems with school attendance. And so we'll say, we'd like to see Joey's school attendance improve. Or dad just left. Joey's really angry about it. He doesn't have anyone to talk to about it. We'd like to see him come to some kind of peace about dad leaving. And so then we'll put that down as a goal. And then within each goal, we operationalize it. So we take the goal and we look, what are the measures that we can see to tell us that the student is making progress to this, right? So in the case of a child where their father left and they're angry, we'll go, oh, in the last 2 months, they went from having 10 episodes a week to 7. Now, that doesn't sound huge, but that's some progress.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So if we saw them go from 10 to 7 over 2 months, that means that we can realistically expect them to go from 7 to 4 over the next 2 months. And now we set the goal for the next 2 months, and we can measure and track that as it goes along. So outside of broader general goals that we might have for a particular student, you know, success in school or helping them get a job, you know, those kinds of things, we also look at smaller, more specific behaviors that are indicators of like some larger complications that might be happening for the student. And then we operationalize that. We figure out, okay, here's the indicator. What can we look at to measure whether or not this is changing? And that's how we track it. And all of that goes into our database.
How is Family or Friends funded?
Largely through public and private foundations. We have contracts with a couple of government agencies. You know, the City of Gresham supports us. City of Gresham has supported Family or Friends forever. They've been a fantastic partner. Oregon Youth Department also helps fund Family or Friends. And there are lots of private foundations who fund us also. But what we really like to see, we don't have a huge individual support base, but we have a committed individual support base, and we'd really like to see that grow. I think the beauty of Family or Friends is that someone can know that every dollar that they spend is going to support a student. All of our administration and operations costs are covered by our private investments through those larger public organizations. So that means that if Gary gave us $500, all $500 of that is going to support a student and to make a difference that way.
That's great. In the last minute or so we have here, talk to me about how the community can get involved with Family or Friends.
Oh, well, yeah, let me put on my ED hat real quick right now. So we have a great event coming up on Thursday, May 18th. It's going to be at Club Paisano starting at 5:30. It's the Kids' Choice Concert. So we went to a bunch of our mentees and we said, hey, what songs do you all like? And they told us all the songs they like. And honestly, Gary, there's a few of them we had to cross off. We're like, nope, can't do that song. You know, that's not appropriate. But all the ones that fit, there were like, you know, pop songs that kind of everyone would know. We held on to that list. And then we found a couple of local bands with decent followings and said, hey, would you come and you could do a set as long as some of these songs are included in the set, right? Because the kids chose these are the songs that they want to hear. So they'll be playing those songs and doing their own originals. There'll be food. We have a signature drink that will be happening there. And it's all designed to fundraise and support the work that Family or Friends is doing. And it's a fantastic entryway into someone learning more about the organization and trying to find different ways to get involved.
That's great. If somebody wanted to get more information on you guys now, how do they do that? Where's the best place to go?
Gosh, that's going to be the website. They can go and look at that, familyoffriendsmentoring.com. Are we .com or .org? I should know that.
You're .org. I just looked
it up. Thank you. We're familyoffriendsmentoring.org. That is the best place for people to go to look. They can also find us on the socials, Facebook and Instagram. And those are more like, oh, this is the activity that's going on all the time. So those are more frequently updated. And also, if they're interested, they can email me or they can email Bianca at familyandfriends.org. My email is cyoung@familyandfriends.org. And Bianca's is btyrell, B-T-Y-R-E-L. At familyandfriends.org. They can email us to say, hey, I'd like to sign up for your newsletter. And when they go on the website, they could also, there's a button there that they can click to say, I'd like to start receiving the newsletter, and they'll get all of the information that's happening with Family and Friends.
Excellent. Curtis, this has been really fun. Thanks for helping us learn about Family and Friends. Very great.
And Gary, thank you so much for the opportunity. I love talking about what we do. Feel like we're making such a tremendous difference, not just for the students we serve, but also for the people who are involved in their lives.
Excellent. We've been talking today with Curtis Young, Executive Director of Family and Friends Mentoring. Thanks again, Curtis.
Thank you so much.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.